Good morning, golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne is on the phone with the great Dan Pohl from the Pohl Cat. Dan, obviously famously known as tying for first place in 1982 before the playoff. And here we are again at the center of the universe in Augusta, Georgia. And, man, the hype has been intense.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as Tiger went ahead and signed up for the event, I think all other people actually made it easier on a lot of folks. I mean, if you know the hype and the player Scotty Scheffler and guys like that, Dustin Johnson, you never really heard a lot about him. Rory, Victor Hovland, all these guys have been playing really well. Morikawa, Cam Smith. All these guys probably are very pleased that Tiger end up signing up, because it kind of let them just kind of do their thing and get prepared for the golf tournament the way they needed to. So incredible is just one superlative, and I'm sure that there's going to be a zillion other on Tiger's round today. But, yeah, it's been interesting just to watch the hype moving forward.
Yeah, Dan and I wanted to wait until Tiger's first round is over. We're recording this late Thursday afternoon, and Tiger shoots a one under par, and on what looks to be a fairly good scoring day.
Yeah, the wind is kicking up in the afternoon, so there's a few tricky holes coming in. You don't see guys knocking the flags down later on when this wind started. But, this morning the greens were reacting really well. They still got the speed. What amazed me, Jerry, was the ball still seemed to be rolling on a lot of those fairways, and the players weren't picking up mud on their ball. So that kind of tells you how Augusta National drains, because I would have ventured to say that there was going to be some uncontrollable second shots coming into those irons, or with your irons into some of those greens. But we didn't see any of those, kind of goofy flyer lies and, picking up mud on the ball, which, again, that's just a big, compliment to the Masters and the Augusta National for its drainage.
Well, maybe they put a sub-air system on the whole golf course.
Well, if you've walked it, Jerry, you know that it's all down in the low spots. Now there's so much elevation change there that you can get from some spots. But, it's just kind of surprising. You got holes like 9 that are playing downhill, and you saw the ball running out. But overall, yes, just to answer your first question, it was a good scoring day. Cam Smith, gets it to 6 under. Looks like he could carry a 2 or 3 shot lead in, and then he flares one out with his tee shot on 18 and ends up making double bogey. So, 4 under, pretty solid score, pretty solid opening, but it could have been a little bit better.
Well, he was one of the betting favorites, and, he's had a pretty good year this year. I took a look at him because we do a lot of stuff with FanDuel on my sports network. And he wasn't really worth the value. He was only plus 650. He was just behind JT and Rahm for betting favorites. He had a good Masters last year. So, but you got a lot of great players that are still on the course today, and maybe somebody will catch that 4-under.
Well, Scheffler's right there at 4-under playing 18. He's got to get, get it up and down on 18 from the left side for to time at 4-under. But, one of the things that we know about Cam Smith is his putting capabilities. But I found it interesting in his interview that he said he really felt comfortable with his iron game. And that's something that we underestimate at Augusta National, is the iron players know where to put it on the surface when they're in control. And when your iron play can be, pretty well spot on to 2 or 3 yards of hit area, it gives those, those putters an opportunity to really, make some birdies. And that's what he did. I mean, you're looking at, again, somebody that's known for his putting, but, when his iron play is on, it gives him so many opportunities, and that's what you're looking for. And, my pick at the beginning of the week, because I think he can play this golf course in any weather, was Dustin Johnson. And I see that now he's just birdied the 10th hole to go to 4-under. So he's the guy that I thought, under these tougher conditions, the penetrating flight, all those things fit his game pretty solidly. But, again, getting back to, Cam Smith, as a betting favorite, out of end one of the hottest players. I mean, between Cam Smith, Scotty Scheffler, and then I added Joachim Niemann in there as these hot young players that are coming in with a lot of confidence. Those three are all right up there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I like Zalatoris. He's at 200 just on eight. Some of the guys that John Rahm is at plus one right now at eight. He's got some of the par fives to go, and he can get under par. But we're looking at windier conditions and a drier golf course. So is today the most gettable day? I guess time will tell. Dan, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it could be. The difference is that how that wind picks up, just because it dries out a little bit, some of the other problems, arise. Because when you've got those softer conditions, that ball that widens that fairway pretty, probably by 5 or 10 yards.
Right.
And it gives you that opportunity not to get run out. And I don't know that the course can dry out that much as far as the fairways. We know with the sub-air in the greens, they can pretty much set them however they want. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the next 3 days play out and the ability for those players to adapt to the conditions day to day. And as I always tell people, I said, listen, luck of the draw and the tee times could be huge. If you could get through today in the afternoon and then have a morning tee time relatively early before the main stuff comes out, that might be the difference at least leading into the weekend.
Dan, since you brought it up, the younger players, this new generation of golfers doesn't seem to need all the experience, of playing Augusta a bunch of times before you can play it well, and seem to be pretty much immune to the pressure of coming down the stretch. And particularly cognizant to ask you this because you tied for the lead and went into a playoff the first time you played at Augusta. So what was it about Augusta that the first time you played it you were successful and you see these guys like Zalatoris and Scheffler that don't need the experience?
I think it's a little different for what we used to do because Augusta National used to be the place that had the fast greens. And so there was no golf courses that you could have played that gave you that same speed and that you would run into at Augusta National. But if you look at these last couple of months of play, the greens that they have played have had more speed probably than Augusta has. I mean, it's just, and so that's not a scary thought to them when they're, looking at greens. As far as the experience, it's going to play. I mean, I think if you would have talked about experience for Mike Tiger, he knew when you saw him hit his second shot on seven out of the trees to the right, he knew that he had to lay it out into the left side short to have that pitch going straight up the hill. He hits it up there a foot and makes par. Three great up and downs on 1, 7, and 18, and they're all a result of probably making the correct layup position to give him an opportunity. If you go at those greens and put it in the wrong spot, you've created that issue for yourself. And I think that's where some of the experience, not when you're hitting it good, the experience is going to be when you're hitting it bad or mediocre or putting yourself in spots where you're going to know. Anybody can play this golf course, when they're hitting it good and, the irons game is on and they're sticking it underneath holes and things like that. But you start hitting a little off and getting a little, that's when you're going to turn a 75. Tiger hit 9 of 18 greens today. That's going around Augusta, you'd go, geez, he probably shot 76 or so. He shoots 71 with these great up and downs, had 27 putts, which is, not fantastic. But, the putts that he made, he had them in the right spots. And so to me, the experience is in, if you put yourself out of play off the tee or you make a mistake, where is that mistake being made? And he showed through experience there that he knew where he needed to put it, to get that ball up and down. And I think that's where these younger players, as the week goes on, if they, if they make some mistakes, but they counter it with so many birdies.
Right.
That's the thing, is that they're not afraid to make birdies. And, they got extremely good short games, and obviously with the condition of the greens, they were able to make some putts. But, you're right. Experience isn't as big a deal I was able to play because at the time I was considered probably one of the top three iron players in the game. And I could put an 8-iron in a 4 or 5 yard area, maybe 2 yards short or 2 yards long, and I knew where I needed to put. I would put more, Colin Morikawa is more of my style of player, and that he hits it really good, but his iron play is really tremendous. And that's why I was able to play. I was never a great putter, but I put the ball in the right position to play.
Is that, did you figure some of that out in the practice rounds leading up to it? Because obviously you hadn't played the golf. Have you played Augusta until the first time you got there? The practice days leading up to your first tournament in 82?
No, I had never played there. I was fortunate enough I was on the Dunlop staff at that point with Fuzzy and John Mahaffey and Hubert Green, three very different kind of players, and I played a lot of practice rounds with them. So I learned a little bit of that, but learning it is experiencing, again, iron play and putting in the correct spots. I mean, you can look at 14 and you hit it in the fairway and you got this wedge in your hands and you think, oh, this is a birdie opportunity. You put it 5 yards over the right and all of a sudden it's a bogey opportunity. So you put it on the green in the wrong spot and it goes from, a straight uphill putt from 20 feet to a downhill slider from left to right that if you knock by, it's going 20 feet past. So sometimes you had to be smart enough not to go at flags and just, I found it interesting listening to Andy North this morning a little bit. Andy kind of, and Jack Nicklaus, Jack was on explaining that, there's 3 or 4 or 5, shots in there that you play away from situational stuff.
Right.
And, he talked about 11. You just don't go at the pin on 11. You don't go at the pin on 12. And so you got to be smart enough and be able to play away from holes when necessary and have that confidence and that ability to make that decision.
And then obviously it doesn't matter if you're not spot on anyways. I mean, Justin Thomas, 4 over today. Justin Rose, 4 over today. Louis Oosthuizen, 4 over today. So, guys that have been around that track quite a bit, if you're just a hair off, even when you know you can't go at flags, it'll still punish you.
Yeah, I think I look at Justin Thomas and I think, this is a guy that, playing the round, practice rounds with Tiger and being, in the mix and really being in the hype probably hurt him a little bit more.
Maybe.
Like I told you in the first part of it, I said, a lot of these guys didn't have to deal with the media and everything else that was, pressing, I mean, that's the most I've heard Freddie talking about in a long time, and it was all about Tiger and playing the practice round with him.
Yeah.
I think Justin's an unbelievable player, but I think, when you are putting that under that microscope so much and everybody's telling you how good you're playing and everything else, and you get off to a mediocre start, all of a sudden you start pressing a little bit. And we know that at Augusta National, if you press, it'll bite you back. So I think, I can look at that and say, yes, he's got all the tools, but, sometimes the tools, even though you got them there, the nail isn't ready to be hit.
Right.
So you try to put the hammer down and it hits you back in the head, so.
When we return here on Finding Fairways, we'll continue our discussion about this year's 2022 Masters with Dan Poll and talk about some of the corollaries that Dan knows about recovering from injury and playing just as Tiger Woods has. When we return on Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. It is time to check in with our good friends at CarlsGolfland.com. Tim Coyle is on the phone. Tim, the first major of the year, that means the first free shipping major.
Yeah, free shipping is live. It's our favorite time of year over at Golfland. You got opening day for the Tigers. You got Tiger Woods at the Masters. Free shipping going on online. And we got a flash sale going on as well this weekend for a limited time as well for the season opener. Spring is in the air.
Yeah, I saw that. I got my flash like I do almost every day from Carl's Golfland. Make sure you get on their website and start getting those alerts. The Sun Mountain Golf Bag is a super deal.
Sun Mountain C-130 has been a staple for any rider out there for years, and the C-130 19 cart bag, which is more than anything you could possibly want in a cart bag, has a limited time, kind of exception window where it's, $219.99, free shipping right now. I mean, you can't beat it. It's one of, well, I guess it's one of the best golf bags that there is, period, and it has free shipping to your front door for $220. I mean, you can't really beat it.
So I bought some long golf pants on your site. When you do it during the Masters week, it's all free. It's the best way to go.
Yeah, lots of, good buy more deals too as well, Jerry. You know, 2 for $50 deals on, yep. You know, tops and bottoms, $20 polos. I mean, you got Bushnell Tech deals going on and, you know, even some new launches from FootJoy and some other manufacturers out there. The Tour Alpha from FootJoy just dropped, this week. So there's a lot of exciting stuff going around, this season's first major for sure.
Yeah, so during the limited commercial breaks when you're watching the Masters, get on your Carl's Golfland app and get your season started right. Tim, I'm excited to see what Tiger's going to do, and we'll be back with you next week.
You know we are, too. We appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you, Jerry.
To Finding Fairways on Outdoor Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne is on the phone with Dan Pohl from the Polecat in Mount Pleasant. And Dan, one of the continuing issues in your career is that you were injured quite a bit and stopped you from probably attaining all the success you could have on the regular tour and the Champions Tour. And now we're seeing Tiger Woods, you know, coming back and playing after most people thought he may never play golf again.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I use superlatives as incredible and all those type of things, and it really is an unbelievable scenario that he's been able to come back from. You know, my situation a little bit different. I mean, I was injured, you know, in the 80s, and, right. You know, they didn't have the team of rehab specialists that would, you know, like Tiger said, you know, when he got done, he said, you know, a lot of ice, but his main thing was, his team has been incredible. My team was the, you know, my kids yelling at me to come do something with them. And so the idea of having a group of individuals, that can, you know, take care of you, when you're hurting and have the knowledge and of the therapy and the things that need to be done. I'm really, you know, I mean, it doesn't take away from the what he's done. Don't get me wrong on when I say this, but to have that ability from every day to be able to, you know, have, you know, whether it's massage, whether it's have somebody, you know, ice the right spots or, you know, have the knowledge of all of your, issues, is huge. And not many people, number one, would do it. Number two, could afford it. And so it is a luxury that he is, you know, able to do it. But I go back to a lot of these things, Jerry, of all of the injuries that he's had. And I still believe his quote from a long time, you know, that he's talked about a long time, is that he's never lost his hands.
Right.
And so when you watch those little pitch shots around the green and you see him get up and down, there's a confidence and some comfortable feeling about his hands have the ability to do that. And I will tell you that, you know, all the injuries that I've had in the past, back, all that, I still think the number one injury that has curtailed my, you know, the feel of the putter and the feel in the short game and stuff, because I had great hands, is the fusion I had in my neck.
Uh-huh.
I had a 5-6 fusion in my neck back in 97. And it really has created a damaged nerve relationship between my shoulders and my right hand and right forearm. And those are reactive type of things. Those are things that when you get a little bit of, you know, nerves going, you get a little bit of, you know, excitement and stuff, it really kind of jump starts all those nerve endings in your, you know, where they're supposed to be, which is in their hands. And I really, you know, make the comparison of, you know, leg, you know, heck, I just had, I think you and I know, I just had a knee replacement,
right,
in November.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And a hip replacement in February. I'm getting through those already. It's the nerve firing of my, in from my shoulder down my arm that still gives me more issues than any of the other injuries I ever had, including the back. Because the muscle structure is one thing. Getting the muscles rehabbed and back, that's one thing. Getting the nerve to sustain itself and hold in tough situations, that's another animal completely. So, you know, again, we look at Tiger and he made some great, you know, 6-8 footers for pars that just, so when you don't lose your hands, you give yourself an opportunity to play those variety shots. And I think that's huge.
Well, I mean, we played last year, and even though it was a challenging walk, and I probably am responsible for having your knee replaced after having to walk Oakland. Send me the bill, Dan. I'll get right on it. You know, I still thought that you got it around pretty good. Your distance was very admirable. I guess you never lose the feeling of being a great golfer, which you were. The one thing that I would say is, on top of everything else, you were injured and had operations in the 80s, and you know, the surgeries are so much more technical and easy to get through than, you know, what they were doing in the 80s.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, where the difference is, Jerry, I mean, the full swings are full swings. You've got reaction, you've got speed, you create that, and the fluidness or the flow is there. Where you get when it's nerve related, or when you have little issues of the firing of the nerve to the muscle, it's those three quarter and halves and those in between shots where you lose a little bit of that distance control because you just don't have the same sensation of how the muscle is going to react. And that was where my bread and butter was. I mean, if I had, you know, there was a lot of times from 90 yards or, you know, I'd hit a little pitching wedge or even a little chippy 9-iron and feel like I had total control of that.
Right.
And now I just don't have that type of shot, and, you know, like I should, to be competitive. And you know, I'm never going to be competitive now just because of, you know, just the loss of wanting to do it, I guess, is the biggest question.
That's not completely true.
I look at the round like we played at Oakland Hills, and I say, you know, full swings, you know, driver, those things, I haven't lost a lot. But when I have to hit that little, you know, 3/4 8-iron and control the distance and the elevation, that's where I kind of lost it.
So with just a couple minutes left in this segment, what do you think, after you saw Tiger play today, can he win this week? Or will he start to wear down? I mean, you know that it's playing a 72-hole tournament on that golf course, with that body and those injuries, will he end up breaking down?
You know, you'd have to believe that he would, Jerry. I mean, you know, we when you take Tiger, you kind of push him off to the side and you don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody could legitimately say, you know, that's going to happen because he's able to ride through there. I watched a little bit, you know, I watched quite a bit of the round today, but I watched more of his gait and the way he was pulling his right foot, you know, as he went, was pretty distinctive. I mean, I remember my people when I was walking could tell whether or not my back was hurting, could tell where I was,
sure,
what was happening by my gait.
Right.
And I think what you'll see with Tiger is he'll start losing balls out to the right, maybe because he can't get through it.
Yep.
And there might be that adapting of trying to, you know, start to hit draws to try to let the hands release a little bit easier. But you got to believe that he's the, I would hate to say that the best round was today. I think, you know, tomorrow is going to be a real test on whether or not he, you know, tomorrow I think is the toughest test because he's went through the emotional roller coaster of getting ready and being prepared and getting there. And then, we'll see whether or not tomorrow, allows him to have a little bit more freedom going into the weekend. But, you'd have to, if you're a betting man, you'd have to say, you know, he's got to wear down a little bit, but he's made us fools of us before and he certainly could again.
Yeah. And with the weather, going to be a little cooler tomorrow, but if he does make the cut Saturday, it with 59 degrees being the high, is really going to tax that body a little bit. When we return here on Finding Fairways, Dan and I will discuss Phil Mickelson and the situation with him and the Masters and the rest of the Pro Tour. And in the fourth segment, take a look at what we might expect to see through the rest of this 2022 Masters. When we return on Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Welcome back to Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. On our Masters edition, we have a Masters subtraction. I've got Dan Pohl on the phone, and obviously Tiger Woods returns to the event. And Phil Mickelson, Dan, coming off a brilliant victory at the PGA, gets into all this crap about the Saudi Golf League and is not at the Masters. So, you know, obviously one of the weirder situations we've seen in a while, and Phil can get pretty weird.
Well, I don't know him well enough to call him weird, but I'll let you go with that. And then, you know, if somebody wants to correct you, they can go. But, you know, I never thought that he would play. I mean, I don't think he would have wanted to put himself in that situation until, you know, kind of the heads have kind of, you know, absorbed it all and been able to, you know, figure things out. I, you know, going to the champions dinner would have been very odd and very, to me, very difficult for him. So it certainly made sense. You know, the one thing that both of us just talking before this segment then was most of it done by text, or did they actually have, a phone conversation where you could feel emotion or hear emotion in voices? And I, you know, that's the one question, and I know you have, you know, got a lot of opinions on this. And so, you know, I actually sent you a text prior to this saying that I didn't think I wanted to be on today. And so, but you never sent anything back. So, you know, I was caught.
I ignored it.
Your opinion. I mean, as somebody that's from the side, I got to be, you know, from the player standpoint and what's going on with the tour. And, you know, I'm just in the belief that the PGA Tour has gotten him a lot of publicity, a lot of financial reward, all those things. So I don't understand it. I don't never take away from somebody earning a living, you know, wherever they want to go. But, you know, saying what he said just didn't set right with me. But I know, you know, you've got a lot of opinions on that. So I'm going to ask you, what's your thoughts?
Well, there's a couple of things. You know, I thought, you know, Fred Ridley is really good at what he does, right? So it was told everybody how much they missed Phil and, you know, how but a big part of the Augusta history is, and that's true. Phil didn't get in a lot of trouble with the actual PGA. You know, Jay Monahan at the Players said, you know, he didn't suspend Phil or anything else. He said, I want to talk to Phil. And whenever he's ready, we'll do that, and we'll figure out what it's going to take to get Phil back playing golf. And I thought Phil made another huge misstep by at least not texting out, you know, I will get with the commissioner when I'm back, when my head is right. But, he never responded at all. So, you know, really, I don't know what's going on with Phil. It's really hard to read it. And the only thing I know, Dan, and you probably know this better than I do, Phil seemed to be irked by the fact that he doesn't own his media rights, that the PGA Tour owns his media rights. And there was a little bit of a story out that when he was in those self-made golf matches for TV, that he had to pay the PGA Tour $1 million to use his media rights. And I got to imagine that's where all of this comes from.
Well, that's a good point. It's hard to say, you know, nobody's really come out and, you know, really been direct. I keep looking at that, and when they say there's multiple issues or that I have a bunch of stuff going on, you wonder, is it something personal at home? Is it, you know, something going on that is, should be kept personal, that is, you know, driving him in different directions? I got to believe that this ability to make money isn't what specifically drives Phil. You know, he's got plenty, I would think. So you wonder whether or not, you know, we all you know, have done crazy stuff in our lives and stuff. And maybe there's something through that's catching up to him or that he's uncomfortable with that's pulling, you know, on his heartstrings. Let's just say that. And maybe it's more of that than just having to get away from the game, because you don't know that just saying those things is going to be directly causing you not to want to play the game. To me it would seem like it'd be more personal. That's what would drive me away from the game.
Well, you know, the guy that quoted him, Alan Shipnuck, you know Alan Shipnuck.
Yep.
Is a very widely heralded golf writer, and he is writing an unauthorized biography about Phil. If it was unauthorized, why Phil would call him up, not say, this is off the record, Alan, because I know you've had conversations with media, and you say, hey, look, guys, this is off the record, but I'll let me tell you this story about Arnold Palmer or whatever. And so it just doesn't end up in the print. So Phil should know that. So whatever he said to Alan without prefacing it by it's off the record is confounding, but there's a whole bunch of stories swirling now about the book exposing a lot of things about Phil that is not going to make Phil look too good. So I don't know if he was sent an advance copy, because you're supposed to do that, and Phil is starting to spin out of control, because I haven't read this book. All's I know a lot of people like you do, Dan, and there are stories coming out about this book that does not make it look good for Phil Mickelson.
And that goes right to my point of being more personal than professional when it comes that way. I mean, because Phil worked a lot. I mean, on his, you know, persona, his ability to get along with,
yep,
you know, the New York crowd, you know, at all the events, and really has stayed on and really has that ability to, you know, to control that aspect of his person, you know, his person. And if that's hit hard, you know, that would make you sit back and wonder. And so, again, it's only time will tell. I hope. I mean, he's great for the game. He's had an unbelievable career. But, you know, again, we will find out. And I hope it's something that players can get back on track with. I mean, I think for Phil this week, allowed, again, with Tiger coming back and all the media, you know, hitting that, Phil has taken a back seat along those lines. So we'll see, when he decides to come back and when or if he kind of opens up, with things.
You know, you're right. Phil, you know, is legendary for signing every single autograph until, you know, on the rope line, until people are just done. You know, he was the anti-Tiger for a while. Tiger was loathed to sign autographs until the PGA Tour made him. So, you know, Phil kind of stole a page from Arnold Palmer and you know, a big career doing advertisement. Now he doesn't have a sponsor. And I'm just a little concerned that if this book comes out and it's a real hatchet job and it takes the rest of the Teflon off of Phil. I mean, look, Phil's done a few things throughout the years that would have really knocked a lesser guy really out of the spotlight, you know, with the stock market thing and some of his gambling problems, you know, Callaway writing a check for $3 million, so he had to use clubs the week of the Ryder Cup. I mean, you know, there's been a few things in Phil's past that have not looked so good, and I don't know where it's going to all end up.
Yeah, you know, and you wonder, too, you know, his representation, were they the ones kind of behind pushing for the media stuff when it, you know, for these made for television events and kind of were saying, you know what, you should get more of this. You deserve more of this. And you always wonder if behind the scenes, you know, as most people or most players will say, I have a great team behind me. You know, was there something in that mix that, you know, that changed, and that somebody may have said, you know what, you know, we deserve more of that money there. And all of a sudden, boom, you know, it kind of is driving him that way. But like I said, this guy's made how much official money over the course of his career?
$43 million in career earnings.
Time.
Yeah.
How much?
$43 million in career earnings, and that's a fraction of the sponsorships and all the other stuff.
Oh, I know. And so, you know, you kind of think, okay, how much is enough, and what is driving that? Is it new blood that's saying, you know, you should go after this, and he bites into it, and all of a sudden he gets caught. I don't know. So there's a lot of unknowns, and like I said, I just you hope that it doesn't affect his family, his kids, and stuff like that. But, you know, when things like this happen, you know, it'll affect everybody.
No doubt about it. When we return here on Finding Fairways, Dan Pohl and I will discuss what we see for the rest of this year's Masters Tournament and a few things more in the world of golf when we return on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CollegeGolfLand.com. Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Jerry Coyne is on the phone with the great Dan Pohl from the Pohl Cat. And Dan, before we talk about what we might expect or think we'll see the rest of Augusta 2022, what are the plans for the Pohl Cat? When are you opening, and any changes you've made, or what?
Well, you know, the weatherman hasn't been the greatest for mid-Michigan and upper Michigan golf. So we were scheduled originally, Jerry, to open April 1st and thought we may, you know, have a chance to get, you know, some early tee times in. Now we're scheduled to open this Sunday, but it's supposed to snow tomorrow. Be nice, you know, like one day and then, you know, possibly rain the next. So, you know, the golf course has taken on a lot of water.
Right.
I mean, and we drain pretty well, but it's not like we've got, you know, 50 people to go out there and or have helicopters fly upside down and dry things out. So the river, the Chippewa River, is pretty full.
Is it?
The fairways are pretty wet. The greens are fine. We did, you know, we're picking up a little bit of greenness now, and we did mow them the other day, so... We might get some play here towards the end of the week, scheduled to, you know, we've taken tee times for Sunday, but, you know, it's all weather related, as you know. You know, like I said, the central part of Michigan hasn't been very fortunate when it comes to the weather conditions, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the snow hasn't all melted around here either, but, you know, we never scheduled open before May 1, I think, once you get past the Cadillac West Branch area, so... we'll keep an eye out for that, and in shows upcoming in the weeks when Pohl Cat's open and ready to play, we'll let people know. But
we appreciate that. Like I said, it's gonna be really good this year. We've already started. We took one cut on the green sites and actually cut them down as fast as they were at the end of last year, in anticipation of taking them down to get some speed in them this year. And I think people coming to play are gonna see a totally different series of greens, and with the speed that we're going to have, it's going to be a challenge. So I'll get you up here when the time comes, and we'll see if you can make any birdies, but it'll be some fun. But before we get going on this quick segment, I wanted to get your impression. When a Brooks Koepka, okay, says he prefers to play harder golf courses than Augusta National, is that a good way to go in thinking?
Holy cow. Well, you know, you can't argue with his success in the majors. I mean, my God, the guy, he's already got four, and he finished second at the Masters twice and second at the U.S. Open once. I mean, if there's a tough golf course player better than him right now, I don't know who it is. Who eagled 13 and 15 on the final round in 82, right?
Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday. I didn't eagle 15 on Saturday. I went eagle on 13. I eagled 14 and birdied 15 and 16.
Right.
On Sunday, I hit a beautiful 3-iron into the 15th green, then rolled up on hit on the front of the green and kind of held and rolled back in the water, and I ended up having to get it up and down for a 5 just to keep maintaining the, you know, I shot 34 on the back nine, but without a birdie on 15, which, again, I hit a good shot, but it was that shade bank, it rolled back in the water. And, you know, those things happen, but, you know, it's kind of, you know, then just making a few pars coming in. But, You know, I look at, there's always a need for these beautiful shortish par fives that can be, that can bite you if you don't hit two good shots. And, you know, you looked at, I think, 15 today, you know, Tiger struggled, you know, he made a five, but I think, a couple of sixes on it by players. And, you know, that to me, 15 is probably an easier par five for most people than 13 is. Because you don't have to shape a shot. You just two flat out just beat them. And, you know, if you hit a good drive, you can come in there with a, you know, 4 or 5 iron to a pretty accessible middle portion of the green. You just have to be right, really on with your distance control. So I don't know why adding distance to 13 would be a huge deal. I'd like 7 as a shorter par 4. Because I love coming in there with a wedge or sand wedge and have to control the spin and control the, where you hit it on the green. And so I don't always believe that making holes longer make them better.
Yeah, well, like I said, I agree with you. There's still people making bogeys on 13. So I don't know why it was such a bone of contention. But as we look at the leaderboard, here on Thursday, as you mentioned up front, some of the guys that you really liked, Cameron Smith and Dustin Johnson are right there. Zalatoris just made another birdie. He's at 3 under. And Koepka's got half the golf course left to play, and he's at 2 under. And then even though they're at even par, Rory McIlroy has got half the golf course to play, and John Rahm is at +1 with, just finishing 11. So you'd like to see those guys get under par if they're going to contend.
Well, I think the big hitter, the guys that can play through a lot of conditions, which are the great ball strikers, are going to, have the weekend success. You look at Cam Smith, he's going to have to do it with the putter when it comes down to it. Is Tiger going to be able to hit enough greens to allow his putter to do something for him? I think Dustin Johnson is going to be the leader after today. He's 4 under through 12. He's got the 2 par 5s. He's got through the meat of the golf course, and now the scoring holes are really where right out in front of him if he can take advantage of it. I think he gets to 5 or 6 under for the day. But I still think when it comes down to playing this golf course successively with different conditions, the iron players are going to be the ones that come into play. And so if Morikawa can get to a position where he's strong in the, leading into the weekend and in a position, he's one of the best iron players out there right now.
Sure.
You're going to see Scottie Scheffler is hitting the ball solidly, so he's used to the wind through Texas. A lot of it's just going to be, to me, where they position it on the green and can they hit those iron shots that give them an opportunity from 15, 18 feet to make some birdies.
Well, as usual, it's going to be must-see TV, and hopefully you enjoyed this presentation of our look at the Masters from somebody who knows it as well as anybody, my co-host here, Dan Pohl. Dan, we look forward to seeing the rest of the tournament and getting your insight throughout this upcoming golf season on Finding Fairways.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. There's a lot of things to talk about, some great players out there that people don't know a lot about that are going to be key, ingredients as this tour moves forward. There's a lot of names that, who knows, some of these guys that have won recently. And you had a chance to talk to Ryan Brehm, a great friend of mine from Mount Pleasant, who won recently. There's a lot of quality players out there. It's just going to be interesting to see how the year moves out and who makes the big moves.
All right. And then you can always check Dan out at, what is it, thepolecat.com?
Not .net.
We couldn't
get the .com. I think it was already sold or something. So we had to go with .net.
Polecat.net for a great year of golf in Mount Pleasant. Thank you, Dan.
Great to be with you, Jerry. Take care, buddy.
All right. As we like to say here on Finding Fairways, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll be with you here next week on Up North Sports Radio. Thanks to CarlsGolfland.com. Time to check in with our friends at Boeing Golf. Ken Griffin's on the phone with me. And Ken, the Masters is here, the biggest Masters we've seen in a while with Tiger returning. But, man, lots of big news coming out of Boeing Golf.
Well, we always try to honor the Masters, you know, and because it always kind of signals the start of the Northern Michigan golf season. You know, it's just around the corner. So this year we're honoring the Masters with two tee time specials, one on the Heather and also one on the Quarry Preserve at Bay Harbor Golf Club. So you can play Sunday through Thursday in May, June, right up till July 7th after 12:30 for just $99.
That's just an amazing special. When I saw this on Facebook, I figured it would sell out before the Masters is over.
Well, you have till Monday night, so all you have to do is go to Boeing Golf and use Masters TT22, and you can do that until midnight on Monday.
You also have got your Masters specials on Stay and Play.
Yeah, you could take 10% off trips up in May and June. You have a little bit longer to book. You have till April 19th to book that on Tuesday night. And that code is MASTERS22 when you call in. You know, we're seeing a lot of early demand for tee times and packages, so don't delay in scheduling your trip. And as always, go to BoeingGolf.com for details on our courses, resorts, package options, or to book your tee time.
Well, with your 10 courses, you still have some availabilities. We know our smaller friends up here are running out of weekends already, and I know they're going to be a premium at Boeing coming up real soon.
They are a premium, that's for sure, Gary.
All right, Ken, enjoy the Masters, and go Tiger, and go Tigers on opening day.
Go Tiger Gers.